to Push Push. I'm Danielle Davis.
I'm Shannon Kessler.
And we are your girlfriend's guide to Formula One. And I don't think it's right for me to open up this episode. We need to just throw it straight to Shannon. Because Shannon, it's your time.
I love it. Thank you, Danielle. I'm not even sure I'm going to be able to get through this episode. I'm just still full of excitement and emotion and just cannot believe that Sir Lewis Hamilton pulled this one off. Won Silverstone, his home race, in front of that crowd, Roscoe in his heart, George off the track, and Lewis.
George off the track? Wow, that was so mean.
I know. That was rude.
That was mean.
I apologize. I do.
Wow. George off the track. You just came for George. You went straight into George off of your Lewis victory speech.
I know.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that.
I slapped my hand for myself. It was unnecessary. It was an unnecessary dig at George.
That was an unnecessary dig. Was not expecting that in your opening Lewis remarks.
No, sorry. I'm fresh off watching a video of George kind of giving Lewis some shit, and I was like, ugh, rolling my eyes. So he's sitting in a weird place with me today. He's always in a weird place with me, but today, after seeing that video, I was like, So it's a little fresh. So sorry. Didn't mean to bring that onto the pod so early.
Wow, I clearly haven't seen that video. I mostly have just been inundated with images of him bowed over crying post race. So I'm still, I guess, maybe in my sympathy journey with George. Haven't moved on to my burn it down journey of George that you have already just moved straight into. Wow.
Yeah, not great. Not great.
Okay, well, British Grand Prix.
British Grand Prix did not disappoint.
Shannon's happy. Lewis won. George lost. I mean, I guess there's nothing else that she could really comment on.
At that point, what else is there to speak on? I mean, that's it.
I mean, I think there's more to speak on it.
No, there's Sir Lewis's, to speak on. No.
Ninth win at Silverstone.
Yeah, hold on. I have a whole list of
things.
Oh, you
have the whole list of accolades.
I have a whole list of accolades that Sir Lewis Hamilton accomplished in this race. Okay, thank you for this time. He has won after his 300th GP. No other racer who has made it to 300 races has won after they've hit the 300 mark.
Oh, that's a fun fact.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
He also scored over 100 F1 wins, which we have known. He has over 100 F1 poles, which is exciting.
Yeah.
He has won races in 16 seasons. He has scored podiums in 18 seasons. He's led over 150 races. He's led the WDC for over 125 races. And he's won the same GP 9 times. That is at Silverstone.
That's how we got here.
Yeah. So well, that's yay. Yay for Lewis.
You know, first win after what, 900 days? Is that
like 945, I think is. I mean, it's insane. Yeah. Insane to think it's been that long. And watching his videos of like, you know, some days it's hard to get out of bed and I don't want to do it because I'm like, will I ever get to do this again? And it's like, ooh, that's dark, but
that's
also unrelatable.
Lewis.
You know, you're like, oh, okay. So,
well, we already knew that Lewis was kind of in a dark place post Abu Dhabi. And I think he was just letting us know that like things have been dark. Times have been tough.
And
money has still been good.
Money's great.
Money is still
fine.
No object.
Yeah.
But you know, even rich people have feelings, and he's just sobbing in his dad's shirt, you know, like into his shoulder after the race.
God, that was precious. Just absolutely precious.
It was.
Just loving all of it. I mean, and honestly, I know I gave George a hard time a minute ago, but it was really sweet of him to come on the radio and say
he was so
happy for him, and it was so nice, and that was great. Even Max giving him like a clap, you know,
he
like
rode
a,
up
yay.
Next to him.
Yeah,
he rode up next to him and was like, whoop, whoop.
This is one of those like, even if you're not a Lewis fan, you're still sort of happy. Like you're like, all right, that's good job.
No,
like,
I think
it was
the
great.
People...
I think collectively F1 came together and really was excited for this one.
And I think that this is the season that we've needed an F1. We've had so many different podium winners. We've had Lewis. We've had Lando. We've had Lando's one win. Yes, he finally did. We've had Lewis. We've had Lando. We've had Charles. We've had George. Like, we've had so many different people on the podium.
Okay, so this is a great segue into this little stat. We've had both Ferraris on Takeover Max this year. Carlos has won in Singapore. Charles won in Monaco. Sorry, I don't know.
Why were
I
you
was like,
just, why
blanking
were you
on
not,
who
why didn't
Charles
you know who
Leclerc.
you were talking about? Why did you just blank on Charles Leclerc's name?
It was weird.
Huh?
Weird. Today's a weird vibe. So sorry. And then we had both Mercedes. So George has won, Lewis has won. We've had Norris in the McLaren. So I feel like next is going to be Oscar's time.
I do think Oscar needs a moment.
I do too. Justice for Oscar.
Justice for Oscar. How do you feel about Lando's missteps
Okay, well,
in
I
the
don't.
British
It,
GP?
I'm more concerned with the strategy of McLaren at this point because I'm getting a little question. I'm like scratching my head over here. I'm like, you had a new set of mediums you could have put on Lando, and you went for softs when you did.
Yeah.
I'm like, I still don't understand why they did that. That didn't make any sense to me. I mean, honestly, probably could have had a different, you
But I
know.
mean, Lewis went on softs.
Yeah, but he went in before Lando.
What is happening with my hair today?
I
Sorry, I'm
don't
in a whole issue. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I don't. I mean,
mean, mediums
Lewis, I'll
would have
just
been a better choice, but that,
mediums would have been the better choice.
yeah. I
Lando was
mean,
sad. Sad
Lando was
Lando. How did you
sad.
feel about? You don't have any feelings for sad Lando. Sad Lando and sad George don't hold any places in your heart, do they?
Not honestly, I do kind of feel a little bit bad more for sad Lando than I do for sad George.
Wow.
I know. I know, guys, I know.
Can we take a moment
Sure.
and say that, I actually did look for this bet on DraftKings. I could not find it. I could find if I could bet, I could bet for a Brit to be on the podium or to win. I think I could bet for a Brit to win, but I could not bet over 1.5 Brits or 2 plus Brits. But if I could have, the bet would have cashed.
It would have done it. You called it last week, 1.5
Yeah.
Brits. So. And it was perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I said over
It
1.5 Brits and or 2 plus Brits. I was even willing to just go 2 plus.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie, I was, the
You did
odds
it.
maker over here, I had it.
You nailed it.
I didn't make
You
the
really
odds,
did.
actually. That was really just more of a gambling decision. But
But you saw it.
I did look for the bet as well. I want the people to know that this degenerate gambler looked for said bet and was not able to find it on DraftKings. So if you know that there's a place where I could have bet over 1.5 Brits, maybe that was on FanDuel or somewhere else, but.
I don't know. I mean, is there not like a direct line to Vegas that like you can do all the prop bets, like all like the weird things?
Well, I did some other prop. There's lots of
Okay.
prop bets. There's not a lot of just this is a fun gambling. I don't know how many of our listeners are sports gamblers, but I love sports gambling. And I had a great baseball parlay last night. As a side note, woke up this morning with
Look
60 extra dollars in my bank account. But I hit a couple F1 bets. I bet Lewis Hamilton to finish in the top two. Did.
Yes, look at that.
And I had one other one. I don't know what it was, but maybe it wasn't Brit on podium. Oh, I think I had like a top six people or whatever. But
Wow. Okay, that's great. That's really
yeah,
great.
I had a few F1 prop bets, but you can't. But there's not a huge array of F1. Like, and especially you can't bet them in advance. There, you have to bet them like 2 hours before the race.
Okay. Yeah.
Because they don't put a lot of them out. But oh, I did a few head. This is what I did. This one actually felt like our audience would like this. I did head-to-head bets, so you can bet,
Ooh, okay.
like who is going to finish higher among different, drivers. There's a lot of those, and I think that everyone should know that I called the okay. Like, I hate what's happening to Carlos, I mean to Charles right now, but I knew it was going to happen. I picked Max over Checo.
Yes.
Boom. Albon over Sargent, obvi. But off, great race though for Williams as a whole.
Yes, I mean honestly, Sargent in qualies, I was like, look at
him. And didn't he finish? Like he finished pretty. Yeah. I mean, not last.
He was in. So. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Carlos over Charles because you guys this weekend. Not so good. Nico over Kev because Nico's just the man right now.
He really is having a moment. Yeah.
Nico's the man. The Hulk is the man right now. Like, yeah. We're all talking about like the top five, but we really should be talking about the Hulk more.
We should be really including the top six at all times.
And because honestly, no one's doing more with less. No one is doing more with less than the Hulk.
Yeah.
And Hamilton over Russell. And that one was the only one that was dicey a little dicey. You know, I got nervous and then he went out and I said, oh, we're good.
Yeah.
So it didn't pay a lot, but I did hit this bet.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you won your bet. Like sometimes I don't care if you win 50 cents. You won the bet. You won the bet. Like that's.
Yeah. And it was a fun head to head because I felt like I was using my F1 knowledge.
Okay. All right. Well, Danielle, do you have a DraftKings code? Yes. Could you pop that in the slides?
I'll put it in. We'll put it in the. We'll put it in the notes.
In the show notes? Okay.
Perfect. Show notes.
Because I think this could be fun. Yes. Let's
start a group. I mean, if anyone wants to be a degenerate gambler with us.
You guys
want
to be degenerates with us on Sunday? It would be so fun.
You can also probably, I think if you're in a group, you can also see all the things I bet. And I do bet a lot on tennis too.
Oh, that.
Big.
That, we could get into a whole different podcast about tennis. This has been a wild one. This has been so great.
I know. But anyway, so back to and see, this is the Grand Slam that I'm trying to go to. We've talked about it multiple times. The Wimbledon, Silverstone,
yes,
British Open, 1-2-3 punch.
Amount of times my husband has been sulking about the fact that we should have just had a European summer because we would have hit the Euro Cup, we would have hit Silverstone, yeah, we would have hit Wimbledon, we could have done the Olympics. I mean, he's like, why didn't we just hit up Europe? But I'm like, I don't know.
Sporty European summer.
I know. Just living the dream out in Europe.
Yeah. Well, that's where all the sports are in the summer. We don't have many here other than baseball.
Yeah, I know. It's
So. Yeah. Anyways, right. So that's
back to this.
Yeah, I will put that in there. We can start a pick through, you know, DraftKings if anyone's interested. I don't
love it.
I think I don't know how many. I don't really have many other female friends that are quite as into. I actually have no other female friends that sports gamble as much as I do, but. If you're interested in chatting with me about it, feel free to jump into the DMs.
Let's go. Pick crew, let's go.
Okay, back to the race.
Okay, back to the
great
race.
Great weekend.
It was a great weekend. We had, I mean, it was an entertaining qualies. It was a.
Well, for some of us.
I got Danielle a Charles Leclerc prayer candle because I thought it's time. Like we desperate times call for desperate measures. And I thought for sure this was gonna help. And you lit the candle. You didn't light it on Saturday, but you lit it on Sunday.
It worked originally. It started off well. He made it all the way up to seventh. Started in the dark. And he made it to the light. And then as Ferrari tends to do, they pulled the plug.
Exactly is happening over there?
I don't know.
Why Charles and
we've used,
Carlos?
Like I said, we already talked about this last week. Yeah, we used all of it. We used it all for Monaco. Used it all for Monaco.
Okay. All right. Well, and now we just
even
have
Ferrari, I think, is saying we used. I think Ferrari's message to Charles is we used it all for Monaco. And he's like, I thought I wanted that, but I'm back in. It's truly hello darkness, my old friend. He's back. Into a dark place. The dog mojo only worked for so long. Like
it's just, I don't know. It was bleak. It was bleak.
But quali was very interesting. It was very fun.
Mm-hmm.
We had Logan made it to Q3, didn't he?
Yes. Logan made it to Q3.
Yeah. It was a real grab bag in
it
Q3.
It was. It as it's been doing. I mean, I think, wasn't it both Aston Martins again were in Q3?
Were they?
Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe both took Q2.
Maybe Q2. That's maybe not something. But anywho, Q3, we get just an exciting array.
Max went
of
off the final Brits. Moments of Q3 were amazing.
It was amazing.
We had George, we had Lewis, yeah. And then Max was coming around, and we were like, oh, he's on a heater. And then he went wide.
Yeah, he had a lot of mistakes this weekend too. Uncharacteristic Max Verstappen mistakes, which, again,
yeah,
what's going on with the car? Was
once the again strategy, quite yeah. sound.
Yes, Hannah Schmidt does know what she's doing with strategy, so she's like, "Don't stress. As long as you don't make mistakes, we got this."
Yeah,
but we can't figure out what's happening with Checo, right? Like, they I really Checo. Do think they're that they hate Checo him. And they are sabotaging this poor man. They're like, "We're going to
know
give
that
you-
there's some sort of like thing in his contract." Have you seen this thing about Checo's contract?
No.
Okay, so not. There's like a stipulation in his contract that if he's far, it says like he's in it, but there's this stipulation in his contract. Okay, here it is. Sports Illustrated. Sergio Perez contract exit clause could see this driver replace him.
Ooh, tell me there's more.
A, Red Bull finds itself at its crossroads concerning one of its drivers as the F1 circus meets once again at the iconic Silverstone circuit. Sergio Perez, who extended his stay with the team by signing a 2-year deal before the Canadian Grand Prix, currently faces scrutiny over his performance. And they're saying that, like, Ricardo could replace him. Perez's recent track record includes an underwhelming series of results, such as 2 DNFs and modest finishes at the 8th and 7th places in the last race in Austria. These outcomes are not merely numbers on the scoreboard, but serve as critical factors, fueling speculation about his future. If he's below 5th place or 5 places back from Max, or which is obviously like 6th place or below, yeah. or if he's below a certain amount of points in the driver standings, that he can be his contract has an exit clause that says like you can go.
Yeah, your performance is underwhelming. I mean, and honestly, yeah. like they are getting like the constructors is getting super tight, like with McLaren and Red Bull right now. I mean, it's surprising.
No, for sure.
By now, Red Bull has run away with this because they've had, you know, 2 cars on the podium consistently up to this point. And now that they don't, like, it I mean, there's...
Well, yeah, there might- and, like, Lando just passed, he passed Charles this week, so he's firmly in 2nd place. So, I mean, and the gap is not as wide as it once was. And I'm trying to figure out where I saw this, but if I find it, I'll share it again. But there is some sort of like numbers that are like, yeah. if he's below this, then they can,
I remember,
he can be removed.
I remember them talking about this last year too, because they, you know, like we were, you, I think you mentioned it last week on the pod about Daniel Ricciardo possibly coming in and taking over that seat and
yeah,
like what that would
well,
look
that
like.
Well, that was my favorite conspiracy last yes. year was that, yeah. Max could have quit in the middle of the season and still won the constructors and the drivers champion. Like Red Bull would have won the constructors and he would have won the drivers championship and he didn't have to race like the last 12 races or something.
Yeah.
And that they were just going to have yeah. Daniel Ricciardo because he was like, I'm just going to go back to the sim. I'm just going to go yeah. back to the sim and I'm going to be fine. Like, I don't really care. But yeah. that was my favorite conspiracy. I was really hoping that would happen. It hasn't.
We haven't seen it. I don't know. They really do hate Checo, and I do think that we're in for some interesting races ahead. Like, are they going to get him into a spot where they're going to get more points on the constructors, or are they doing this because they're like, all right, let's put Liam Lawson in the seat and see what happens?
I mean, I could see it happening. I mean, Helmut Marko has done it's on brand for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's like fully on brand for him to just be like, bye, see you later. But I don't know. They talk out of both sides of their mouths at Red Bull.
Yeah, they do.
They're like, we love him. And then you hear all the like press rumblings, which are obviously controlled. They're yeah. like, we hate him. We're getting rid of him. But right. then they sign him. So you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think everything is tied with money and performance. So.
Well, and
he's
we already
money,
know
no performance
all
right
the money.
Now. Yeah.
yeah. So. Okay. It is understood that the team communicated its desire for him to improve his performance with clauses in his contract, meaning he could, in theory, be removed from the seat during the season if they are not met. These clauses include not being more than 100 points behind Max Verstappen after the Belgian Grand Prix, the gap is 119 heading into the British GP. So this was before this post that I found this from before. With another understood to dictate that he cannot be more than five places behind Verstappen in the standings, which that's the one I mentioned earlier. Like, he cannot be farther than fifth. And he is currently, I believe. I think he's like seventh maybe right now.
He's sixth. I just looked at this. Okay. He's sixth. And he's got 118 points and Max has 255.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, and I know I saw it updated again after the British one that were basically like the clauses are not being met in the contract. So,
okay.
It also feels like a little cooking, like we signed your contract, but we are also going to put clauses into said contract that will make it that we can control the process.
Yeah, that will make it very easy for you not to succeed.
Right, because all they have to do is screw with the car and...
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't understand. I don't feel like they don't want to not win the constructors, and Checo is not... helping to that right now.
Well, let's look at the constructors. Hold on. Let me look and see. Currently,
it's got to be like pretty close. It's definitely not like anything like last year. So everyone bitching about F1 being boring can, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if you watched this race this weekend and you thought that was a boring race, then NASCAR is maybe up your alley because this ain't it. Like, this was a great race.
So much racing at the front.
So much racing. Okay. So Red Bull is currently in the constructors with 373 points. Ferrari is in second with 302 points. Yeah. That is not a comfy lead by any means for Red Bull.
And how far back is McLaren?
McLaren's at 295. They are knocking on the door at Ferrari.
Right there.
And Mercedes is at 221. Wow, you guys, the fight's on. This is amazing. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of sports betting, since you mentioned those four teams, I also placed a bet that was so bad. I placed a bet that you could pick the winner that was not from Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull, or McLaren. And I was like, I'm going to throw one in for Pierre Gasly, who paid really well. Drew was like, my husband was like, he's out before the race even started.
Yeah. Dan had him on his fantasy team. And like going in, I was like, that's a solid lineup. Like, Dan, your fantasy team is looking right today. And then doesn't even start the race. And I was like, ooh, sorry about that fantasy team.
Yeah, it was
team,
bleak
boo.
For poor. So we had talked about the return of Alpine, but
what is the curse over there? Like, what is going on with the Frenchman?
I don't know. But is it true that Ocon got signed by somebody?
I saw it on the rumor is that they're announcing his acceptance speech, if you will. Like, it's coming, like, soon.
But I thought that Ollie Bearman also has been.
Yeah, because remember, they don't have either of the – they don't. There's Kevin and the Hulk are not racing for Haas next year.
No,
so
I know.
It's Ollie and
Ocon. So it is confirmed. Because sometimes I see it on my Instagram and I'm like, is it real or is it?
Yeah. That's I don't know. Like, I don't think there's been an official announcement.
Official announcement? Okay.
Yeah, but I think that's where we're going.
Well, I'm going to check in the news and notes because I'm like, okay, it is confirmed.
It is confirmed.
That we're just behind the times. The New York Times has confirmed that.
Oh.
Well, not just the New York Times, but like if it's on, that's the first thing that came up.
Got
it was 5 days ago. We just got kind of lost. And I don't feel like they talked about it very much during the race.
I'm not sure that it's actually been announced though, like on F1 sites, has it?
Yeah, it has. But sometimes I'm like, is this true or is this gossip? No, it says it came out on 4th of July. So I think maybe that's why we missed it because we were all American holidaying.
Celebrating the independence of America.
Ollie Bearman will race in Formula One next year with Haas after being announced as part of the team's 2025 lineup ahead of the British Grand Prix.
Oh, sorry. Ollie, yes. I thought you were talking about Ocon's announcement. I was like,
Ocon's has been finalized.
Officially.
But Ollie's has.
Okay. Got it. Cool. Well, thanks for that update, Danielle. That's great.
Sorry, we're really bouncing all over the place.
We really are. I mean, we still haven't gotten through the Silverstone. I mean, we've had the accolades and it's great. We haven't talked about the rain. We haven't talked about the tires. We haven't talked about the stress. We haven't talked about jumping on couches. We haven't talked about any of it.
The rain, I thought, was going to be more than it was.
It was, in all honesty,
anticlimactic.
It was just enough. Like, it was... We got rain, we got sun, we got rain again. We got enough for it to, like, screw around with people's strategy. And what the rain gave us was like the safety car we needed to make things interesting. Cause it was like, slow it down, put the slicks on, don't put the slicks on. You're on inters. Why are you on inters? There's no rain. You're on complete wet.
Inters.
Whew,
like
really,
why Checo and why Charles? Like that was just
a question mark of question marks. Yeah, I don't know. I why do these things happen to these drivers? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, why?
Why?
They put them on so early too. Like they spent the commentary, the Karun Chandak spent like 15 minutes talking, not that long. 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But talking about how like Ferrari has spotters out in the community, like out 5 miles away or whatever to be like, you know, they're like, if you see someone in red looking at the sky, they're out there looking for rain.
Yeah.
Well, what were they doing?
Maybe having a cup of tea, maybe enjoying a biscuit. I don't know.
Did the sweat drop into their eyes like George Russell's and they were like, it's going to rain. And it wasn't. Did they walk under an air conditioning, an outdoor air AC, like a window unit, and have a drip hit them? And they were like, it's rain
coming,
because
it's coming. Yeah.
They put the inters on so early that by the time it actually rained, both Checo and Charles both had to switch to new inters because they like the deg happened so quickly because
there
inters.
Was no rain.
It just seemed very stupid. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. The other teams clearly figured it out. Lesser teams did better.
Yeah, with less.
Everyone, like, also, like, I just don't understand. Is it sabotage? It shouldn't be sabotage. I understand the sabotage for Checo, but why are we sabotaging Charles? Why? Do we just want to hurt him?
I don't know. What you saw that the strategy engineer got let go on July 8th.
Praise me.
Yes, but he got signed to Aston Martin on July 9th.
Well, that's fine. Have him.
Yeah. That's your headache now, Lawrence. You go for your headache.
It's not
that's
my problem fine. Anymore.
That's fine. Yeah.
You can take him. Because legitimately casual fans could have done this better. I could have just looked. I could have read the weather from my phone here in Kentucky and feel like I could have made a better strategy choice than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
17 people collectively at the British GP could have all just been like surveyed at different points of the track, and they could have helped with this.
This is what okay. Red Bull seems to have the pulse of like the weather, like whoever is doing the weather at Red Bull never gets it wrong.
Yeah, never.
And they're always like, hey, listen, in lap 16 on corner 15, there's going to be some rain. Just need you to know. And that's going to happen in approximately 10 minutes. But in 6 laps on this corner, just know it's going to get wet. We heard that on the broadcast. How come Ferrari can't hear that on the team radio? Because all you got to do is listen to what they're saying.
Like have somebody on another channel. Like just tune into like, the other channels.
Tune into Red Bull weather updates and you're going to be fine. Like, I don't understand why you're trying to beat the system. You don't know how to beat the system, Ferrari. So like, stop pretending like you do. Just listen to Red Bull radio and you'll figure it out.
Yeah. I don't understand. We don't even need a strategist. Just use their strategist and just be a second behind. And then we could still be doing better than we are right now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just fire him and we'll piggyback.
Just go. Yeah.
Anyways.
I know. Did you enjoy the race though? Were you just like,
yeah, I
watching with intent and like feeling the excitement?
Yeah. I loved the race. I thought the race was great. It wasn't like my race. It wasn't like my people. Mm-hmm. But I was super mega happy for Lewis. I was on board for Lewis. I did get a little nervous because I think with a few more laps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Max only needed about 3 more laps. Yeah.
I'd have given Max 2 and Lewis would have been a duck. I mean, those tires. I mean, the fact that he managed the tires as well as he did, I was like, oh, my God, these softs, they're not going to last to the end of the race. Max is coming up on behind you. We know how this is going to end. We were watching with some of our friends who are not Formula One fans, but they were like, oh my God, is it always this intense? And we're like, no, this is actually no. Like,
no, it's never this intense.
They're like, it's so stressful to watch. I'm like, I know. This is when it's good. Like, this is good racing. But they were like, oh, he's going to win. I'm like, don't say that out loud. We don't know.
No, don't put that mojo on. No.
We don't until he waves the checkered flag and he crashes the finish line. You cannot say he's going to win this race because we have seen crazier things happen.
We've been places with Lewis and Max.
We've had our heart broken before.
And Max, I don't think, had a great race. Like that's how Max is that he didn't have like an amazing race. It wasn't like his best performance. And so I think this goes back to what we were talking about a few episodes ago, where you're like, is it the car or is it Max? Mm-hmm. Obviously the car is exceptional, but Max is good.
Yeah.
Like, he's very good. He's also exceptional.
Yes. And
he was charging. Yes. Also, Lando, I know that like it was a move, like Lando made a move to the inside, forcing Max to go to the outside, thinking that like that was going to hold. And so I know, like I'm saying that I know that that's what he was doing. But it looked like he was just moving to the side.
It did feel like the fight was gone. Like he was like, I can't do this anymore.
And I guess that he didn't want to, I'm sure there were some sort of team orders that were like, we're not trying to have a wreck like last time. Like don't wheel to wheel engage him because third place is better than no place.
Yes.
But it did, I was like, oh, well, Lewis has got his fellow Brit back there. He's going to do a little shake and bake.
Yeah.
And at least hold him up enough so that it's not even an issue. And it's not even something we have to consider or talk about or get like, you know, our nails bit down to the quick about. And Lando, again, I know that they said he made a move to the inside to force Max to the outside, but it looked also like he got out of the fast lane.
Yeah, it did.
Like if you were just a casual observer and didn't know anything about F1, you're like, why did he just move over?
Why did he let that guy pass? I thought he was trying to win the race. Like, it did look that way. It definitely did look that way. And I mean, I think obviously we've seen like the post-race interviews where Lando was like, I could have done better. And I'm like, yeah, you really could have. I mean, you could have done it for the Brits. Just keep Max behind you. Just, you know, keep him at bay.
But again, Max in the last 10 laps is a different driver than everyone else.
Yeah. It doesn't matter where he is. He's going to fight. And it's beautiful to watch. I mean, you know, I don't love a Max Verstappen, but like there is no denying that he is a special driver in this car. And it's crazy to watch. Like things that shouldn't happen in a race car. He's like, I can make it happen. I'm like,
it looked so easy going around Lando. And I know that it probably was not. And again, that was like a racing move. And I do know that Lando is good on the braking zones and where he chooses to go into turns and all that sort of thing. So I know I know in my heart of hearts that he was making a choice from a racing move, but Max made it look like child's play.
Yes, it did.
He just looked like he was like, whoop, should have that. I mean, he looked like he was moving at a different speed. Like it was just, it was a thing of beauty. It looked like when George did that little loop-de-loop around him in Austria.
Yeah.
So.
I know.
You know, Lando, I feel like Lando isn't maybe necessarily, and all the Lando haters are going to come for me on this one. I just don't think maybe Lando's ready for his moment yet. I think he's dabbling in it.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily know that he's ready to rock. Like he hasn't gotten to the place where he's comfortable rising to the occasion.
He stresses under pressure.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that he's settled into the place. Like, I don't think he feels comfortable. He's not the type of driver that Lewis and Max are, where they feel very comfortable driving from the lead. Like,
yeah, I could see that. I also feel
Go ahead. I've heard both of them talk about how it's like a totally different to chase as opposed to being in. I've heard both Max and Lewis talk about how it's totally different from how you race when you're chasing versus how you race when you're in first place. And I don't think that Lando is in a place in his career yet where he understands both parts of that yet.
That's a really good observation because he hasn't been able to hold a lead of a race consistently week after week. So you're right. Like he doesn't have that experience. I also am not convinced that he and this car have really found the chemistry. You know, Max and his car obviously are one in the same. they have.
But you could say the same thing about Lewis. I don't think Lewis and this car are. Well, I think
now we're starting to see the car is now up to what Lewis would be comfortable saying, like, okay, the car is much better. And I'm feeling more confident in the car because I have more confidence with this car. I don't know yet that I've seen Lando like put a lot of praise into the car the way that you see other drivers.
I feel like he's made some really like strong, bold moves in the car that would make me think that he does feel like some of the things he does with his like choice on braking time, I think it's way cooler to watch than most of the drivers. Like, I think he makes bolder choices with his going into turns and where he chooses to like hit the corners and things like that than a lot of the drivers. I feel like he takes like the path less traveled more often than not, which makes me feel like he maybe is comfortable in the car.
I mean,
maybe he's ready for the like ready to stay in the moment. Like, I think he's ready when like he just kind of like zooms into the moment, which I feel like is kind of what's happened to him with his win, like where it kind of just like things opened up for him.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if he's ready to like lead from the front.
Yeah. No, I do agree. Like, his leading from the front is not a polished position from him yet. I still don't think that the way that he likes to drive his car, which again, I love a late breaker. I love watching, you know, drivers that can do that. I just don't feel like he's comfortable, like, that he trusts, like his instinct is to do this, but I don't know that he has the comfort and the confidence in the car yet. Like, the synergy for him isn't quite there. And I think when it does happen, I do think we're going to see even more aggressive style out of Lando, which I love to see.
I don't think he is decisive enough sometimes.
And maybe
I think
he's not comfortable.
Indecision on things
his skill might not be honed in with that yet.
I don't know, but I feel bad for him a little bit. Not a ton. Not mega. George. I feel mega bad for George.
Hmm.
You don't, obviously.
I don't.
And also, I'm going to give praise where praise is due. Okay? And okay. I'm still a Carlos fan. I just want people to know that. I know it seems like it is. I'm not.
It doesn't but
I'm
always happy feel for Carlos. That way. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I am. I just really wish he would make a choice, you know? And I want to support him on his choices. But I think he had a great race, you know, like obviously the team decided, you know, to take chances and choices with Charles. With Carlos. But I still think that Carlos had a great weekend. He had a really great quali.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe that he would have wished for like another. I do feel like time got kind of away from a lot of them in qualies. But you know, Carlos had a nice weekend.
He did.
I think he did the most with what he could. So
he did. I enjoyed it. I did enjoy. We got a lot of Carlos Charles content this weekend, like a lot of soccer crossover. And I love when they do this. Like, it feels
so
good.
Did you see the one where they blindfolded and they were throwing the ball and trying to catch it?
Yes.
I posted it on stories and it brought me so much joy.
But does it give you the feeling of like Carlos being the big brother that really just likes to pick and pester Charles, the little brother? Because that's the energy I got from them a lot this weekend. And it was almost like Charles being like, God, just leave me alone.
Oh, I don't. I think
but in a very endearing, cute way. Like, I didn't feel like they were annoyed with each other. But like, I just felt like there were certain times where I was like, this is giving big brother energy and it's making me giggle.
I do like how it seems that Charles and Carlos leave like their bickering and fighting and stuff. And I think that's also why they're like great at Ferrari, because they're marketing machines also.
Yes.
But I do feel like they leave a lot of their like animosity to the, you know, to the track and to the garage maybe. And they like are willing to like, they have still have like a banter and a friendship and like a silly playfulness like outside when they have to do marketing things. And whether that's, you know, fake, it doesn't feel fake. I feel like you can tell when it's forced.
Right.
I think that they are so giggly. I would watch 30 minutes of them doing that thing where they were blindfolded and threw the ball in the air and tried to catch it. or bounce it on the ground and then try and catch it. I loved it. Right. I also like when you get to see people who are like really, it's the same thing when they put like basketball players and football players in the F1 car or like in super fast cars and drive them around and they get all nervous and scared and start screaming. I like when you get to see these high performance athletes who are so polished being a little like breaking character, like being human.
Yeah.
Like, you know, bouncing the ball and trying to catch it and being blindfolded, you know, like that's, I like that content. Like, give me more of that.
Yeah. It's fun. I
want them to be lightly humanized. I still want them to be like dressed to the nines and beautiful, stunning, amazing, but like a little bit of break in the personality of like perfection is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
which
fun.
Also lends itself to the pets, which we had a big pet weekend.
We did have a big pet
weekend. We had Albon Pets launch.
So big.
Which, have you bought the Albon Pets merch?
I have not bought Albon Pet merch. I mean, I have an Albon sweatshirt.
Would.
I do, like, it probably will. I probably will.
The dog one is so cute. I mean, they both are.
They're, like,
I didn't
noodles,
know that Alex loves his cat so much.
Oh my God. We follow
really,
Albon Pet
in.
On
no, I know.
The socials, and it's pretty cute. Like, he's a great cat dad.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much he loved his cat so much, which that's on me for not, you know, learning more about their pet relationship. but I figured we had the Albon Pets merch launch.
Which so
we had
big.
Leo on site, and then we had the King.
We had the King, Sir
and maybe
Roscoe.
Maybe Roscoe
Hamilton.
Needs to come to more races, because maybe that's what we've already said, that, you know, the pets soothe the owners.
They do. There's a reason why there are service dogs allowed in places, because they do calm the nervous system, and they really just get you in like a very grounded position. And Roscoe does that like Shakira for, you know, for Lewis. And
bring back Shakira to the grid.
Bring back Shakira to the grid, man. It was great. I loved seeing Roscoe. He just like, he walks in and it's like the King has arrived. Everyone just like,
yeah, the King in the castle
wants to pet him, wants to be around him. Just, you know, everyone looks out for him. The video that I was talking about earlier that set me off about George, they were on the stage and
wait, George did George disparage Roscoe?
A little bit. A little bit. He was like, there was one time where Roscoe was in the paddock and he pooed in front of George's door. And George was like, I didn't appreciate that. And, you know, crowd giggles or whatever. But it was like, George was really hanging on to this moment, like just couldn't let it go. And one of the announcers was like, do people ask questions?
Wait, so is Lewis Hamilton not a pick up the poo after, like, did he just leave the poo?
I don't know. Poo was there for
this
George.
This leaves me more questions about Lewis than George.
Again,
because I have strong feelings about people who
that don't
not
pick up their
pick
dog
up
shit.
The poo.
Yeah. I totally agree.
And I don't want that. I don't want Lewis Hamilton to be a person that doesn't pick up the poo.
I can't imagine that Lewis doesn't pick up his poo. I can't imagine that to be like something that he would just like leave. But then the interviewer was like, you know, does Roscoe get a lot of questions in the DMs? And Lewis was like, yeah, actually, like he gets a lot of female dogs that want to mate with him in the DMs. And he was like, but he snipped, so he can't. He's like, but because he is a pedigree, like he had his stuff frozen. And George was like,
what?
Of course you would. And like just gave this like giant eye roll.
Okay, I'm on
like,
George's side of this one, because truly that is.
I mean, I don't.
Of course
like,
Lewis would, though.
Of course, like, right. Why would he not? Like, you have a a beautiful dog that is. It's Roscoe. Why would you not have the, if you had the means and you could, like, why wouldn't you just want to keep
this
your dogs?
This was not what I was expecting for us to be talking about on today's podcast.
Oh, I know, right? Like, it really came out of left field this morning, too, when I saw it. I was like, so it just, the way that George played the whole thing and the way that he was just so over and annoyed that the conversation was going towards Roscoe, you know, I don't love him to begin with, but it just set me in a spot with George this morning, and I was like, I can't.
Okay, well, I think maybe we should let that one go, because it is a little bit wildly absurd, and I also have more questions than answers coming out of this segment, should we say. I'm having a lot more questions than answers about about Lewis and Roscoe in general, of the pet relationship there. But anyways, moving past, I did like the pet crossover combo of Albon Pets and Roscoe. Now we need the Albon Pets and Leo.
Yes.
Maybe Leo's not established enough yet in his in his F1 pet. What are they called? Can they like pets? We have wags. What do we can do?
Yeah.
Like pets of drivers? Pets of pods?
Pods. Who are the pods? I'm surprised we didn't get any Roscoe Leo content. I'm really waiting for this to happen. I know we can't be the only ones that are like, when are we going to get it?
Well, maybe they're like waiting for like a hard launch or something.
Maybe. A hard launch. Yeah, it could be.
Like later in the season. Like, I mean, Lewis is wearing a lot of red lately. Came into the paddock in red.
So good.
He's been doing a lot of red work
lately. Yes.
So he's ready for his Ferrari era. But one last spin in the Mercedes.
I mean, what a way to go. Like your last home race in the Mercedes, you win it. I mean, it means so much to him. It obviously means so much to everyone back at the factory. Toto is excited. I mean, everybody just living life. Like the best moment, the best high, the best high.
Well, that leads us straight into who's your, you know, I know who your driver of the day is. I don't think we all, I think we just need you to say it out loud, but we all know who it is.
Lewis Hamilton is my driver of the day.
And I think he's my driver of the day too, because I think he's everyone's driver of the day.
Yeah, he should be.
Hearts and minds.
He should be. Yes.
So who's your P1?
My P1 goes to the fans of Silverstone.
Me too. I was going to say the same thing. Jinx.
Being on the same page very rarely happens on this podcast.
It does very rarely happen. I was going to say the exact same thing. Although my second, like my P2, a very close P2. Because he's not getting enough shine, is the Hulk.
Oh, yes.
Like I said earlier, no one is doing more with less.
I agree. 1,000%. 1,000%.
Like the Hulk is doing it. Like he's just out there. Like he's like, I'm in this Haas. It's not great, but like I am.
But it's not terrible. I mean, I'm going to look up. Where is Haas?
No, it's not terrible. But I'm just saying like. The Hulk is hulking. And the justice Hulk is for hulking. Nico. The justice for Nico.
I feel like the Haas is in seventh place with 27 points. And for me,
I feel like they should have more.
I feel like it feels low to me too.
We looked it up last week and I also said the same thing. I said, feels like they should have more. I feel like we've been so hopeful for them.
I mean, the Visa Cash Cab is in sixth place with 31 points.
How?
I don't know. I don't remember them getting this many points.
I guess because like Yuki has been just like lurking around like 8th to 10th like all season. So he's just like consistently like.
Don't forget Ricardo's got a couple points in there, Babu. I know you don't like to admit that.
A couple points.
He has 11. But... Yuki has 20. Daniel has 11 points.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's got a few. How many does
the Hulk Nico has 22. Have?
It feels like he should have more, but he's really coming on these last few races.
He's under Fernando. Fernando is 45.
But Fernando started out the season really great.
Lance has 23 and Nico has 22. So we're going to see a climb, I believe, in the
And I also think that Aston Martin once again started the season very strong.
Yeah. So strong.
They've really dipped off, but they really did start the season very strong.
Yeah. I agree.
And I think we've all forgotten that because it's so long ago.
Why does it feel like it's that long ago? I mean, I guess it was March, right? Like,
but honestly, in my heart, Monaco feels like so long ago because of how shit Charles has been lately. So, like, you know, it's time. We can really get away with you.
Monaco does feel like it was
ages ago.
Ages ago. Ages ago. Okay, hold on. I'm going to do a quick fantasy league standings here.
Yes, please let us know.
First place, we have Bring the Hammer. Second place, we have...
Oh, what a great... Bring the Hammer. It was hammer time. We finally got some hammer time again.
Yes, it was...
Also, Max needs a phrase that's like hammer time.
But he's got a song. Do, 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 do.
I know, but like when they're like, you know, because when Lewis was racing and he's like, leave me to it, you know, and like in his mind, he was like, it's hammer time.
Get in there, Hamilton. Yeah, love
it. You know, like he's like, leave me to it. I'm working. He was like, hammer time. Like it was like if he was in a video game, it'd be like, activate hammer time.
Yeah, good point. Actually, yeah, bring in the hammer. Second place goes to my daughter, Ruby Jane, with Mercedes Is My Ex. Second place again. Mm-hmm. And then, oddly enough, my mom.
Wait, was her original name Mercedes Is My Boyfriend, and then she changed it?
Well, she's going for Mercedes Is My Ex because next year she's going to be a Ferrari fan because of Lewis. So she's, you know, foreshadowed. And then my
I thought
mom,
we were getting like a Taylor Swift reference, but then it already moved past.
No, that's actually Eleanor has Stay Don't Joe. That is her team name, and that is a Taylor Swift reference. But my mom is in third place with Mimi's Flock.
Wow, Kessler's really,
really. But that's because my daughter sets my mom's team. So that, you know, Ruby Jane is just crushing fantasy and needs to tell me at all times how good she is at this.
Do you want Ruby Jane?
How bad I
you
am.
Can start a DraftKings account, but maybe then don't, you know, I don't support child gambling, but maybe you could just like ask her
opinion
what she thinks.
Good idea.
Yeah.
This is good. This is great.
This podcast does not support underage gambling.
Underage gambling is illegal.
She might have some strong insights.
Opinions.
About-
Got it.
Yeah.
Understood. Understood. Clear as a bell. She is not gambling.
And also, you know, your video, we've posted your video of your celebration.
Oh,
what a time.
What a time. What a time. Oh, I was so excited. So excited.
Do you think that Lewis, question, do you think Lewis will get another podium this season?
Yes, I do.
Over, okay, over one, like over one and a half, do you think?
Over one and a half.
Over or under, that's the line I'm setting. Over. One and a half podiums.
Podiums or wins?
Wins, sorry, wins.
We okay, because I was like, for
definitely
sure, podiums.
Over,
yes.
Over podiums, yeah, yeah.
Over podiums.
Podiums.
Wins, I'm going to say under. I think he'll get
one more.
I really do think he'll bring it home in Brazil. I think that will be another
be nice.
Moment for him.
His home away from home.
Exactly.
Do you think Shakira will come?
I think, I hope so. I don't
she
know.
Loves the South American race.
She does love the South American. But really would like to know where she's been and why we haven't seen more of her and if they're still gallivanting on yachts together. I don't know.
There's maybe a, you know.
Maybe it's a moment. One shining moment, you know?
It was a little summer love last year.
Speaking of summer love, I picked up this book called Throttled, and it's an F1 like based.
Is it F1 fantasy? I mean, is it F1 romance?
It's F1 like fantasy fiction, and I'm kind of here for it.
Wait, does it have like, is it like steamy or no?
There's some spice. We got some spice in the book. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a perfect beach read, and I'll give you just a little premise if you want to go pick this up, because I put it in the DMs. I was like, has anyone read this? And I was actually very surprised. Quite a few of the crew have read the book. It's a series. It's one of four, which I didn't know. So I was like, okay, this is exciting. But you have two racers who race for Bandini, which is like the Ferrari team. Okay, their car is red. You've got like a older, more established driver who's super good looking.
Is this the plot of the Brad Pitt F1 movie?
No, I don't think so. And then the second driver is a little bit younger, but he has a sister. And the sister and the older driver are starting to have a little like, we shouldn't be hooking up.
Should we? Yeah.
We should, but we can't because the brothers gonna freak out. So we're getting, it gets a little uncomfy in some situations and then it gets a little spicy in others and you're like, oh my God, kind of crazy. But
all right, well,
it's good. I mean, listen, it's not the
most. Join Shannon and her book club. Join me in my gambling club.
Yeah, you know.
we have our interests.
You can have it all here at Push Push.
Oh man. I mean, I love that.
I'll pass it on when I'm done. Cause it's, I mean, you know, it's not the most eloquently written book I've ever written, but like the content's pretty good. Yeah. I'm like, it's a good
I wouldn't expect much from, you know, did you watch the preview for the Brad? Like that leads us nicely into this Brad Pitt F1 movie.
I did. And I was kind of like going into it. I was like, I don't really know about this movie, but seeing the trailer, I was like, okay.
Oh. Can I tell you something I don't like about the movie? Don't like that it's called F1.
I don't mind it. I mean, what are they going to call it?
I don't know.
Anything other?
It just feels like it feels like Transformers or like if they made a movie about the NFL, they don't call it just NFL. Would you make a movie about baseball and just call it MLB? Like,
maybe. I mean, excuse me.
It just feels like it lacks creativity, and it feels also like a, like it feels very like Barbie Transformers. I feel like it kind of diminishes F1 to make it sound more like, like a cartoon than like an actual sport.
I know that the internet has very strong feelings on this, but I just don't have.
What is, I haven't really dove in. Does the internet not
the internet hates it. Like they're like, this is the dumbest name. It. Like so dumb.
It is stupid. It lacks creativity.
I mean, I just, I'm like, I don't feel like that was a bad call, but that, you know, I'm like, I don't know.
It just feels like, well, again, we wouldn't like the, and the best, like what, there's a bunch of NFL movies or, you know, Any Given Sunday, like Drive to Survive. Like we're giving names that are like, you know, there's plenty of baseball, Moneyball, like Brad Pitt's been in that one. Like, like, can't we think of some? It just feels like a commercial, like a long commercial with Brad Pitt.
It, yeah.
Also, the girl in it is like, isn't this an Apple TV movie? An Apple movie? The girl that's in it, and I can't think of her name right now, or the actress, the female, and she's not a girl, she's a woman. I feel like she must have some sort of long-term deal with Apple TV because she's also in a show I watch on Apple TV. She's also from The Greatest Showman. I can't think of her name right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're talking about. She's the, you know.
Yeah.
All the Light of a Thousand Lead Diamonds or whatever. But she's also in this like show I watch on Apple TV called Silo. And I feel like she's been in another Apple TV show. And I just want to be like, do you have a deal? Apple TV is like, we got to throw this girl in.
Get our girl. She's our girl. She's the face. Yeah, she's in here.
I mean, I think she's a great actress. Like, I actually really like her. Silo is a great show if you're a weirdo like me. But I just feel like she's in only Apple TV things now. Either way, I just think it's a silly name. Like, I just feel like it lacks creativity. And they were like, well, the writers are on strike, so we're just going to call it F1.
Yeah, well, you know, there could be worse things that they could call it. I just don't feel like that was.
Well, there's sure there could be worse things, but there could also be better things.
There could be better. Okay. Yeah. I mean, but we don't. But I mean, Prentice like, is an older driver coming in to prove himself. Like, what do you call that? Like, one more time? Like, I don't know.
Maybe.
Like,
I don't know. I'm not the major motion picture studio. I just feel like if you gave me a few hours and like maybe let me see the movie, I might be able to come up with some more names for it.
Okay.
I don't know. It just feels like we're going to be like, whatever, F1. The movie is F1.
It's easy. It's what's it about? F1.
F1.
Yeah.
Like it's just like it's giving like Transformers.
Well, that's what it's about. I don't know why
I guess
people hate it, but okay.
Well, I mean, I feel like you could put underneath of it if it had to be like branded like an F1 movie. I don't like it. I think it's silly.
Got it.
I think it just lacks creativity. I don't think it's silly. I just think it lacks creativity.
That's fair.
But if you all want to get creative and write a review for us, we would love that, as well as following us on social media at F1 Push Push on Instagram and TikTok. Have you been talking?
I told you my talk is weird. I've got to just get in the algorithm again.
Reconfigure the algorithm?
I don't know what happened over at TikTok.
You just have to tell it. You just have to say, like, give me
F1. Stop giving me makeup tutorials. I've never clicked on one.
You just have to like recalibrate it. Maybe you need to spend some time in the garage.
I need
over
to sit, yeah, I do. I should. I should just sit there and like just let it listen to all the F1 things that I talk about all day long. Just leave the app open and be like, get it right.
Yes. And make sure to follow us on YouTube at F1 Push Push. I would believe our next episode or the following one after that, we will be like fully configured over there. So it's going to be good times, great oldies over on the YouTube.
If you want to watch us look like idiots talking about F1, you can. Your dreams can come true.
Can come true. We're over here just making the magic happen.
Chatterbox.
And again, if you would rate and review the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, it would make us happier than Shannon and her girls celebrating the Lewis Hamilton victory. And until next time, push, push.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly VeriScan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly VeriScan today.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.